to determine what God thinks about our giving. But let's look at Mark chapter 12, and maybe we'll get an idea of some ways we can determine, or some ways God is going to judge our giving. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, which is my current favorite version, and is approved for teaching, by the way. Starting in verse 41 of Mark chapter 12. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put everything she had, all she had to live on." So, the real way to measure, I believe, whether God is going to be happy with my giving, is whether or not it's sacrificial. Not necessarily the amount. Because if you look at this passage, you'll see who is more pleasing to God. It's not the rich person who gave the large sum of money. It was the poor person who gave a large percentage or a big sacrifice, made a big sacrifice. So Jesus sat and watched the people give. Do you think that Jesus is watching us give? You think that 5 minutes ago, God was watching what we put into that plate? He might have been focused on Jordan hitting his head on the back of the pew. Probably not. I think he was watching what each one of us was giving and the heart with which we gave it. In this passage, Jesus watched rich people who were not committed giving, even though they were giving a lot of money, because they were not making a sacrifice. They were not committed. They were just dumping large sums of money in. He watched a poor woman give everything she had, and that woman was pleasing to Jesus. Now, we might say, well, I have a responsibility to take care of myself, feed myself, and feed my family. This woman had that same responsibility. Because Jesus saw the heart, he knew what was really going on with that giving. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you'd be turning there for a second. Could be argued that the rich people in this passage that we just read were giving for it to be seen of others. And we don't always know what people's hearts are. We don't know always why people give what they give. But a lot of times people do give just to be seen of others. And we can see what Jesus actually says about that attitude in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received a reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So we're not giving to show others what we're giving, because after all, our giving is between us and God anyway. Right? It's none of my business how much you give. It's none of your business how much I give. It's strictly between you and God. This passage teaches that God considers the heart and the attitude and even the financial condition of the giver when determining the value of the gift, the true value of the gift. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says in verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The widow was making a big sacrifice when she gave those 2 cents, or those two coins. She was giving all that she had to live on, at least for that day. In other words, she forfeited the money that would have bought food for the day. And her gift actually demonstrated what? It demonstrated a trust in God that He would take care of her. It demonstrated that she knew that God would take care of her if her heart was in the right place. You know, many Bible verses promise that God will reward those who give. 2 Corinthians 9:11, Proverbs 11:24, those are verses that talk about how if you give, it'll be given back to you. Remember, though, that not all generous giving Christians become rich. We don't see that happen in the church. We don't see people necessarily getting back everything financially that they give. But we do know that God will repay us by taking care of us and by taking care of us spiritually and emotionally and, of course, by bringing us to heaven. So, let's talk about sacrificial giving. And let's put ourselves into one of three categories. You can determine for yourself whether you're one of three categories. And what I want to think about is, since our giving is between us and God, not between us and each other, if you fall into a certain financial category, how are you going to make God happy with your giving? So, if you are rich, if you are financially well off, you have an obligation to give sacrificially. Many of those who are rich spend the extra money that they have on frivolous things, because they can. It's called disposable income. And actually, we judge the health of our economy a lot of times by how much disposable income people have. Because if you have disposable income, you'll buy big ticket things. And big ticket things help the economy. So if you have $1 million in the bank, maybe you'll go buy a house. Well, guess what? It took 200 people to build that house. That helped the economy. That's the reason, you know, rich people who have, we like rich people in our economy to spend on those big ticket items. I believe that God would prefer that rich people in the church make a sacrificial gift to the church in some way. Help the poor, help missionaries, you know, help out with the finances of the church in some way. I believe it would need to be sacrificial for God to be happy. Let's talk to those of us who are in the middle class. Not rich. I mean, maybe we are all rich by world standards, but not rich to where you have just millions of dollars of disposable income. But maybe you have disposable income every month to some degree, but you still have to work for a living. You still have to work to pay your bills, got to make your house payment, got to put your kids through college. Those of us who are in the middle class fall into that category. Sometimes those in the middle class do have financial shortages, and sometimes we do have less disposable income. But if you have an abundance, what do you do with it? What are your priorities? And I want you to think, is God happy with my priorities? So is God happy with, if I have any disposable income, even if it's just a couple hundred dollars a month, is God happy with the priorities that I have? And you have to decide that between you and God. You have to make that decision yourself and be content with it. You know, and the best thing we could each do coming out of a lesson like this is to just think to ourselves individually, am I happy with what I'm giving? And is God rather happy with what I'm giving? And that is the best exercise we can have. Let's talk about those of us who are poor. who don't have enough money necessarily to pay the bills. What does God expect of the poor? This becomes a little uncomfortable sometimes because the poor, after all, don't have everything that they need every month to pay their bills. But you know, no matter what category you fall into, God expects sacrifice. God expects sacrifice of all of us. And Jesus was very happy with the woman who made, the poor woman who made the big sacrifice. Now, am I saying that those of us who are in the congregation who are not doing well financially, you should then just blow everything you have and bring it here? You know, that's your decision. You know, it's your decision what you do with your money and how responsible you are. We do have a responsibility to take care of our families, to work, and to feed our families. We do have that responsibility. But, again, the lesson here is sacrifice. Are you willing to give up that one trip to Pizza Hut? You know, maybe that's your luxury. Maybe that's the sacrifice you need to give up. Are you willing to give up that television you were buying that you really don't need this during the holidays? Hey, it's on sale. Maybe you should get it. You know, are you willing to make a sacrifice and do that? And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. I believe that that's what it's all about, is sacrifice. So Jesus commended the widow for her giving and her charity. And the question is, do you give sacrificially? So I'd like to give us a little exercise. And I would like for each one of you, and just do this in your mind and think about this yourself, to pick one item that you're going to buy within the next month. And maybe you could, instead of buying that one item, maybe you could give that money to God instead. Just pick something. Make a sacrifice. And I believe, you know what? I believe you will feel good after doing that. So maybe instead of buying that television you were going to buy, or that computer you were going to buy, or pick the item, that suit you were going to buy, the dress you were going to buy, pick something that you were going to do and sacrifice it. And just have an exercise there and see how that makes you feel. Pray about it. Ask God for some guidance. And see how you feel after that exercise. You might find that it could be a life-changing experience. It could be something that you could actually turn into a habit. That maybe every month, every quarter, every year, maybe twice a year, instead of buying something that is a luxury for you, maybe you give it up. And instead of just pocketing that money, you actually give it up and give it to God. It could be rewarding. Because after all, how much enjoyment is God going to get out of that new Macintosh you're going to buy? How much does God enjoy the leather seats in your car? Or the navigation system in your car? Yes, I have a car that has leather seats and a navigation system. How much does God enjoy riding in my car? I would guess that he doesn't ride in it at all. Maybe he's with me in spirit, I hope. But he does not care about leather seats and the navigation system. And that's the attitude I think we can have. You know, how is God comfortable in that new Lazy Boy? You know, do I really need it? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Am I willing to make a sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice the things you need? Are you willing to sacrifice the things you don't need? This woman here in this passage that we read today sacrificed things she needed for God. And those of us, we're sitting here having a discussion today about sacrificing things we don't need. So let's talk about giving at Carrie for just a minute and then we'll be finished. I started the lesson or started my talk this morning about things that we have, blessings that we have at Carrie Church of Christ. We have a full-time paid evangelist here at Carrie. That is not necessarily, it's common in the United States, it's not necessarily common worldwide, that people can afford to pay somebody full-time to do nothing but minister to us. We have a facility that allows us all to meet together to worship and to teach. The facility is beautiful, in my opinion. It's very comfortable. The lights are on. We can see. We have a sound system. We can hear. And we have a heater that is working, and we are all warm. We have missionaries throughout the world and even in our own state who are in need of our support and are getting our support. And we're able to do that. We're able to help the poor in this area. We're able to help that we have a pantry where we can give out food and clothing. And we have regular systems and programs for giving to the poor here at Cary. We have teachers who teach, prepare the lessons, and teach without compensation. They do not get paid, and yet they sacrifice their time and effort to teach our children and us as adults. We have elders who manage the church and spend hours every week overseeing this congregation. We do not pay any of them. We are a blessed congregation here in Cary. We are privileged here in Cary. I believe our response to that privilege should be one of sacrifice individually. We should be able to do the things we want to do and the things we need to do in this congregation. And our goal should be to show God how appreciative we are of everything that we're given here. Is God, again, between me and God, between you and God, is God happy with what you are doing and the sacrifice you're making? Are you generous? Are you generous to the poor? And are you generous to His works? In closing, let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Switching to the invitation here, part of the lesson. So here's Philip riding in a chariot, and he comes upon an Ethiopian eunuch who is studying the scripture. And he's reading a scripture which reads in verse 32 of Acts chapter 8, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who would declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So Philip asked him, you know, what he was reading, and that passage was out of Isaiah, and the eunuch answered in verse 34 and said, "Ask you, whom does the prophet say this of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning with this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Isn't it interesting that the story of Jesus included baptism? Because not only is the story of Jesus the sacrifice that He made for us, the death that He died on the cross, the torture that He went through, but it also includes what our response should be to that sacrifice. And the Ethiopian knew, after talking to Philip, knew what he needed to do. This is our opportunity to do that today. If you have not made that decision, this is a great time for you to make it. We have water that is ready. We can go down into the water just like Philip and the Ethiopian did. And your sins can be washed away right now. You have that opportunity to make that decision right now. You also have an opportunity to come forward and ask for prayers of the congregation. If you have sin in your life that you want to confess or want to at least ask for us to pray for you to overcome, we can do that at this time. If you would like to, if you have any need whatsoever, come forward while we stand and sing.
Lay down at the feet of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest.